We made it! It's the first day of the 40 days of prayer. We made it! Woo! I am so glad, so thankful. I just want you to know that there are amazing things happening in the relationships of our church family. It's fascinating. To God be the glory. This 40 days of prayer did not just come about. There's been a lot of planning, a lot of prayer, oddly, for the 40 days of prayer. And there are some key people that as we get into this campaign even more, I will let you know. I'll have them right up here on stage and we will thank them. But just thank God right now for those who have planned ahead with our communication. That's been really important. We have folks who have been working tirelessly to make sure that all the materials that we need, including this beautiful, beautiful 40 days of prayer journal. This is one of the, this is going to be a treasure to you for time, for a long time to come. We've had people who made sure we had all the materials, banners and so forth. We've had those who are working so much to give us precious events. In fact, we had a wonderful event. We had a church-wide day of fasting and prayer, and that team pulled that together. On Monday night, we did something we have never done before, and that is we had at the end of the church-wide fasting and prayer, we had a communion service to break that fast. And since we didn't know, since we've never done that before, we didn't know, but we had 52 people in person and I think 8 or 10 people online. That means we had a significant, as Kurt said that night, it was a night for us to show that we really love Jesus because it wasn't in the flow of things like Sunday. We actually came to church on a Monday night. That's cool. It's great. Way to go, church. That team's also put things together that we have every Monday, starting tomorrow. This will be a chapel of prayer. It will be a come and go. You do not have to show up at 6 and stay till 8. It's just going to be an open opportunity for the team prayer to be here to help guide you through prayer with a card when you come in. But they'll also be here available to pray with you should you need that, but it's going to be an opportunity to pray for renewal and revival in your own heart. It's going to be a great thing that's happening every Monday here at City Campus during the 40 days of prayer. I'm also thrilled because one of the key components to this campaign and any spiritual growth campaign is groups, and I'll get into that here in a minute. But I got a text a little while ago that blew my mind as to how good God is. Even through all the difficulty and turmoil of this year, I was told that before this service started, 212 Rock Springers and Friends are engaged in a Rock Springs 40 Days of Prayer small group. That means 212 people are getting connected to God and to other people. To give you perspective, we have more people in small groups than we have attending on any given Sunday. That's amazing, and that's the way it's supposed to be. That is fantastic. So way to go, church. So many things happening. The service of it all, it's great. In fact, I was looking over at Tanya just a few minutes ago, and I was reminded what she said to me earlier this week. We have between 60 and 70 people who are actively serving at Rock Springs in any given week. That is 30% of our church family in terms of membership. That is wonderful. If y'all know church work at all, God is blessing in that area. So here we are. You go, I've never been through a 40 days campaign. Well, you're about to. And yes, it took a lot of work from team prayer and communications and group and of course online. I got to stop and say that too. We have almost 30 people engaging in small groups during the 40 days of prayer online. They are figuring out how to get it done, and it is an amazing thing that people are being engaged that way too. That is fabulous. We are going to focus on so much having to do with prayer. Your first dose would actually come through a small group meeting this week. And some of you are meeting on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I don't think we have any groups that are meeting on Saturday, but we also back to Sunday. You can get your first dose of that. But during this time, I'm going to try my best in small group teaching as well as in this room to show you that there is a purpose to prayer. It's not just something that you do. It's not a spiritual checklist item. It has purpose. And if you understand its purpose, then it starts to come alive. I want to show you what Jesus showed all of us, and it's so rich. And that is, there is a pattern to prayer that he gave us that actually leads us to what I hope is one of the things you walk away from in these 40 days, is there is tremendous power in prayer. Tremendous power. And it is not spiritual magic. It is not hocus pocus. But there is power in conversing with God. In fact, what I really hope you go, that lands deep in your heart and your mind, prayer is about a person. I hope that you and I have good conversations, but I hope you don't go home thinking about, well, he spoke, and then I spoke, and then he spoke, and then I spoke, and focus all on the mechanics of the conversation. I want good conversation to be rich in the fact that you and I are connecting as friends. Well, imagine that the person of prayer is the God of the universe who's leaned so dramatically in your direction. That he has given you the capability and the tools to be able to be in constant conversation with him. I want you to understand the person of prayer. I just read it this past week, and maybe you guys have done the same reading plan on the Bible app, but Kyle Strobel said, prayer isn't a place to be good. It's a place to be honest. Amen. The God that I know desperately, desperately wants to know that you know him. He already knows everything about you. Good, bad, and ugly. And he still wants you. So as you learn how to pray, stop trying to pray it like, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy. Like, stop. Sound like you're talking with marbles in your mouth. Stop. It's not about being good. It's about being honest. I hope that you can lean in his direction, because God desperately wants to meet you there in prayer. Because guess what? God's really into you. But why 40 days? A lot of different reasons. We treasure these 66 documents from both the time before Jesus and about him and the time after he left. In all of those documents, it keeps showing up that 40 days, 40 weeks, 40 years, the number 40 has some powerful significance. But even in the most practical way, if you've never been through a 40 days campaign, I want you to think about this. It takes, this has been proven, study after study proves, it takes 40 days at least to establish a new habit in your life. So our goal and our aim during the 40 days is to nail down a new habit, and that is, as an individual and as a church family, we want to be able to establish a good and powerful habit called prayer, and we want to do it right. And it also reflects a very key value of Rock Springs, and that is, we want you to know Jesus because he loves you just the way you are, but he loves you way too much to leave you that way. We believe, one of our key values is we believe in continual spiritual growth. In other words, Rock Springs is honestly postured to continually be in a state of renewal and revival. That's how we live. Now, I come from a long line of revivalists, because I used to travel around singing, preaching, doing puppets, all this kind of stuff, and take revival to people. I know that there are key things that have to do with revival, but I'm saying revival at its most basic form is whenever we humble ourselves before God and say, God, what do you want? And that's why I've been telling you these things the last couple of weeks, is don't waste your life. Make yourself available. Let him stretch you. We believe in continual spiritual growth because I contend that most of the problems in the world have to do with a lack of maturity in the spiritual aspect of our life. Immature people make immature, dumb, and stupid decisions. That's why I tell us all the time, we're a colossal collection of moral foul-ups. We are immature. We make dumb decisions. We tend to base what we do on how we feel. And while your emotions are a wonderful gift from God, you need to be basing your life not on how you feel, but you need to be basing it on what you know. That's right. And you need to know that God's word is truth. That's what you need to know. Feelings and moods, they tend to be very accurate, inaccurate, because they are not based solely on the truth. But during this 40 days, we have the potential to look into God's word, and it is truth, and we will become wiser, and we will become more mature. Another way of looking at it is, I see around our church family, we have a lot of precious little children, and I'm about their size, so, you know, I hug. It's easy to hug them. You hug those kids, and they're so, so cute. But a kid that doesn't grow up is not cute. It's tragic. It is very, very tragic. I also say, because I've been around church more than you care to know, even more tragic than a kid who doesn't grow up is seeing Christ followers who haven't grown up. It makes me so sad. It makes me heartbroken. In the words of the great theologian Amy Grant from years ago, they're fat babies. They're still in spiritual diapers. And all the while, God wants them to be strong. So it's time for us to grow up, and this is a priceless, priceless opportunity. So that's what's up with this 40 days campaign. There on your notes, Ephesians 4:14 says, we are not meant to remain as children at the mercy of every wind of teaching. Instead, we're meant to hold firmly to the truth in love and to grow up, to grow up, to grow up in every way into Christ. I don't know if you noticed, it says we're supposed to grow up into Christ. Jesus' ultimate goal for you in a relationship with Him is to look like Him in character. He wants you to think like He thinks. He wants you to act like He acts. He wants you to speak as He speaks. Jesus Christ, when you look at Him, not those weird paintings of Him that's like, that's not Jesus. I'm talking about the real Jesus that you see portrayed in Scripture. He is the ultimate picture of spiritual maturity, emotional maturity, intellectual maturity. He is the goal. Folks, if there's anything I've learned by helping lead revivals or going through a 40 days campaign, the focus is not the campaign. The focus is not the goal. I mean, the campaign is not the goal. Jesus is the goal. If you get through this 40 days stumbling your way through, but you look more like Jesus, then you have won. Some of you are already going, I got the book. I've already got the address where I'm supposed to go. I'm going to be at everyone. I don't care if they have to bring me in on a stretcher. That's fine. Love your dedication. But church is not an event. Church is us. Church is us pursuing Jesus with everything that we are. Now, are there key elements that will help us get there? Absolutely. During the 40 days, there are key elements. A worship experience on Sunday. That's what we're doing right now. A small group get together that you need to be a part of, in which you get teaching and discussion on the subject of prayer. A daily devotional. This is awesome. This is awesome. If you already have this book, I'm just telling you, today, since some of you just like, I got to do it. Oh, wait. Could someone hold this book so I could see the page number? Page 23. It's got one of these cool little tab things. There it is. Daily devotional. Do that before you go to bed tonight. You're on the road. That's a daily devotional. You can do that. Bible verses that will help you memorize truths about prayer. They're also, I'm encouraging and challenging every group to take opportunities to serve and impact our communities for Jesus. I'm telling you, you need to get into one of these groups. It's going to be your first taste of teaching about prayer. We're going to dive into more teaching on prayer next Sunday. But today, what I truly want to do for you is I want to help you and me get very, very clear on the reason why we are doing this. Because if you don't understand the purpose of it, you will have missed the point. Because I truly love you, church, and I pray for you, and I look forward to seeing you, and I'm so thrilled the way that you step up into your faith even more. But I want every single person who considers Rock Springs to be their church home, I want you to grow up. You say, well, I'm already grown. I'm not saying that you haven't grown. I'm saying this is a golden opportunity for every single one of us to grow up some more in our faith. Amen. Is anybody with me? I need some talk back because I feel like I'm out here by myself. Because if we learn anything in 2020, if we learn anything in the first part of 2021, it is that this church body must grow up some and learn to take care of one another, because the next time something difficult comes to us, we do not want to fall apart. We want to forge ahead and see our church grow, even in the midst of a pandemic or whatever else may come our way. Thank you that someone agrees with me in this room. I want you to grow up, but you need to understand how growth works. There are some eternal principles that you cannot, you can't break these laws. If you do, they'll break you. Because God's made order out of incredible disorder. He is the God of the universe who keeps it all spinning, and it works as He wanted it to work. He has physical laws, the laws of gravity. You can say, I'm a lawbreaker. I will just tell you, you jump off a very tall building, the law of gravity will not break, but it will break you. Okay, there's just certain things, and that's true about mathematical laws, relationship laws, but it's true of even spiritual laws. I want us to go through this very quickly. I want you to grow spiritually, and you need to know how growth works. I want you to grow up. Six laws of spiritual growth. If you're going to grow, if this is going to be a time of delight in your life, you have to say this personally. I grow when I feed on God's Word. It's true for all of us. We feed on God's Word, we grow. The Bible is your soul's most nutritious food. Now, physically, you and I can keep on surviving on junk food, but you will not be healthy. It is the same thing in your soul. You can skim through, you can try to get by, but I'm telling you, you need God's Word every day because it is your soul food. You feed on truth. God's Word is truth. One of the things I really hope for a lot of you is to break a habit before you establish a new habit. And the one I want you to break is a lot of you still treat Rock Springs, the church, or whatever you perceive of Rock Springs as an event. It is not an event. We are Christ followers. We are the church. We gather together and we have events, but we are the church. And if this building, and what a tremendous blessing. Did y'all notice any difference when you walked in the room this morning? It's beautiful. Thank you guys for the work that you put in. But if this should burn down, we still remain the church. But if you keep treating church as an event, what you do is you belly up to the spiritual buffet every Sunday and you gorge on God's Word, and then you try to live the whole week with not another bite. I'm telling you, if you did that physically, you would be a mess. Some of you, one of the most chronic problems in your life is you don't feed on God's Word every single day. And you need to do that. This book will get you into God's Word. You'll have to think about it. You will have to pray about it. And I'm just telling you, it is not enough to show up and fill up on a Sunday. Got real quiet in here. You just got to have a little bit of God's Word, just a little bit, every single day to stay strong. Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, people need more than bread for their life. They must feed on God's Word. During the 40 days, and with this journal that I've showed you, you can develop this habit. I just showed you one page that has to do with devotionals. There's devotionals for all 40 days. There are pages for taking notes during messages on the weekends. There is even the small group material, and it's ready for you to feed on. It'll help you feed on God's Word. All you need to do is start thinking, can I give God 5 to 15 minutes of my day every single day for the next 40 days? If you do, I promise it will transform your life in some way. In the story of the first church, Acts 20, verse 32, Paul is speaking. He says the word of grace, which is another terminology for the Bible because they didn't have all the Bible that we have. They were actually writing it at that time. Anyway, the word of grace is able to build you up and give you all the blessings that God has for His people. I want all of God's blessings for you. Do you want them too? I want you to have them. Well, the word of grace that has been given to you through God's word will build you up, and it will really bless you. And I'm not talking hocus pocus. It will bless you. See, there are some gifts. For instance, let me see if I can think. Oh, this is a great knife given to me by a friend, and I'm so thankful for this knife. This is not a gift that you would give to an 18-month-old. My point being is that some gifts are very, very good, but you can't give them to a baby because the gift will actually destroy The baby. There are some gifts that God wants to give to you that are powerful and sharp like a two-edged sword. But he can't because you're not ready. That's why he's waiting and giving you an opportunity and waiting for you to grow up. He wants you to be strong. He wants you to be mature so that you can get a grip. Speaking of which, everybody hold up a hand, whatever your dominant hand is. That's great. You have in your hand, well, actually your hand is a great illustration of how to get a better grip on God's Word. Quick, you can write this down or it's actually going to be archived. You can go back and watch it. Quick illustration. If you've got your hand, you've got six different points. Let's start with the pinky. The pinky in regards to how you get a better grip on God's Word is that if you can hear God's Word, like you're hearing right now, you can also pull up the Bible app. You can hit play. It will actually talk to you. Hearing God's Word is wonderful, y'all. Hearing it. We live in a time that is amazing. You hear in all different kinds of translations. Hearing is good. But did you know, study after study shows that you forget 95% of what you hear within 72 hours of hearing it. This is the most depressing statistic for a preacher ever. I spend 8 to 12 hours getting ready for these messages and you forget it by Wednesday. But it's a place to start getting a grip on God's Word. Add the ring finger in. That means you read it. That's why we put the scripture reference in the notes. That's why it's on the screen, so that you can read it and see it. Because hearing it with your ears, seeing it with your eyes, drives it deeper. The middle finger, that's when you study God's Word. And studying God's Word simply means you ask questions of it. Who is this? What were they doing? Why is this important? Where were they talking about this? All these questions. Studying God's Word, you just interact with the Bible. The index finger, you start memorizing it. Most of you have already memorized at least one verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Most famous verse in the world, but there are thousands of others. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That is Romans 12, 1 and 2. It has guided my life since I was 12 years old. You can memorize. You're like, I can't memorize. Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. You know what you memorize? You remember stuff that's important to you. Man, I could still go down that road. The thumb, that means meditate on it. The word meditate in English comes from the word ruminate, and it comes from the word chewing the cud. You chew on it, swallow it, burp it back up, chew on a little bit more. Swallow it, burp it back up, chew on a little bit more. Why? Because that's how cows get the nutrients out of the stuff we feed them. Meditate on God's Word. If you've got your pinky, ring finger, middle finger, index, and thumb, the only thing left is your palm, and that is applying it. Because it is one thing to know something. It is a totally different thing to do it. Back to the hand. Each of these things I told you give a tighter grip. And the tighter your grip on God's eternal truth, the less likely it is going to be for Satan, the enemy. And you say, you believe in him? Jesus talked about him as if he were real. I'm going with Jesus. Satan's going to have a whole lot harder time getting it out of your life if you have actually got a solid, tight grip on the Word of God. So here is an action step, and that is a daily time with God. Spend 5, 10, whatever time you've got. Use this journal. Start a new habit. Second spiritual law, we grow when we learn in different ways. I just want you to look at someone to your right or your left, someone perhaps that you know or would like to know, and just say to them, you are so different. Every single one of us and everybody who's joining us in the online campus and everybody you will ever lock eyes with, we are all different, original. We are unique. You have a one-of-a-kind fingerprint, eye print, voice print, footprint. Everybody is different. There is not a single person like you. You have a unique heartbeat. You have a unique learning style. What I'm asking you during these 40 days is give some attention to figuring out what your learning style is. And while you're doing it, while you're sorting out, well, that's not my learning style, realize that that is someone else's learning style, because if you start to learn yours and theirs, that's whenever you interact better. Jesus said in Luke 3, actually, Jesus did not say this. Luke was giving us the history. Luke wrote down, he said, in many ways, John the Baptist preached the good news to the people. John the Baptist was the forerunner, the one that was getting ready for Jesus to show up with his message. But why would John the Baptist do something different in different situations to communicate what he was trying to say? Because you do everything you can as a communicator to meet people where they are with the message that you believe is important. John wanted to connect more people to his message of repentance. I do the same thing. I'm not John the Baptist, by the way. I don't like locusts. I've tried it. It's not a good thing. You know, because like today, it's like 6 points for crying out loud, preacher, stop. Some of you like it when I take the approach of we only have 1 point to the message and we just dance around it the whole time and we do it. And then some of you go and it's like, that message actually had no point. That's what you say. But you're kind when you say it. Some of you will get that later. In the days to come, in the life of Rock Springs, there will be different voices who will be teaching God's word, not just mine. That's going to happen. The message is always going to remain unchanged, but the voices that present that unchanging message will be different because different learning styles respond to different messengers. Well, real quick. You can fill in some blanks as I go. Some of you are auditory learners. What I mean by that is like, just tell it to me clear, I got it, it's locked in, good to go. You love church gatherings like this, because this is the primary way for 2,000 years that the church has gotten its message out. Somebody like me stands up and says stuff about the Bible, and you write it, and says, auditory learners. How many of you go, I'm an auditory learner, just tell me what you want me to know. Okay, good. Look, and some people did not raise their hands, right? Because some of you are visual learners. You learn not with your ears, you learn better with your eyes. You want to see if it's real. You want to see someone demonstrate it and prove that it is true. And so you stand back and you watch. How many of you would say, I'm a visual learner? That's how I do. Okay. Some of you are oral learners, meaning unless you are given the permission to talk it out and talk about it, it's like it doesn't become real until you start saying something about it. I'm not going to ask for a raising of your hands. I already know who you are, and I'm looking at you. And some people say, I don't like to listen, and I don't like to read, or I don't like to talk. They're called men. Always stay on the good side of the girls. That's what I say. No, seriously, some of you are, this is a big word. This is like a $25 word. Some of you are kinesthetic learners. That means you learn with your hands. Whenever you have to build something or put it together or fix it, you do not want an instruction manual. It's like, throw that away, open that hood, and we're going to take that apart. We're going to figure out how it works. And once you do, it's like, done. It's awesome. How many of you would say, that's how I learn? Okay. You see how all of us learn in different ways. Some learn best with their ears, some with their eyes, some with their mouth, some with their hands. Well, during the 40 days of prayer, we're going to focus on one truth, and that is prayer is a conversation with God. It is about the person to whom we are talking. But you're going to have abundant opportunities. We're going to teach it through the ears during the worship experience on Sundays. We're going to teach it through the eyes with this wonderful journal and the daily devotions. We're going to teach it through the mouth, because if you get into a group, what the opportunity is, you listen to the lesson and then you discuss, how do we apply that in our life? How can we learn? And you will learn it with your hands, because every group is being challenged to make a difference in our community by actually serving our community outside these four walls. It's like taking a nail and hitting it four different times instead of just hitting it once. It's why I've been after you the last 2 weeks. Don't waste your life and let God expand you, stretch you. And I'm saying to you, that was preparation, and today is a little bit more preparation. Would you please get into the position where you can access as much of this as possible? Now, I already talked to some people who are actually having to take off here in just a few days because they have trips that have been planned for months, even years. But they're not leaving the 40 days of prayer behind because of our own online campus, because of these tools. They're actually taking the 40 days of prayer with them. We're going to have Rock Springs, Hawaii. Yeah. Heard about that? We're going to have Rock Springs the Carnival, Royal Caribbean. I don't know. It's going to be awesome. Do you need anyone to carry your bags? But I will say, even though these things are all valuable, I have to confess, the one thing I can't figure out is how can a regular church attender show up for years and years and years and still be mean and self-centered and gripey and gossipy? Because if God's given us His Word and He gives us this opportunity to learn in different ways, I have to ask, why is the good news not getting through to them? Because, you know, there's nothing wrong with the message. It's just if people aren't accepting. I'm telling you, Job, one of the oldest documents we have in the Bible, said God speaks in different ways, and yet we don't recognize His voice. In other words, church, God is speaking. The question is, are we paying attention? So showing up at church does not automatically change you. It just doesn't. We need to make ourselves available to listen. Okay, got to go on. Number three, we grow when we know God's Word, when we pay attention. And number three, we grow when we develop spiritual habits. Yes, we do. I talked about this principle a couple Sundays ago, and that is, if you build good habits, you're building good character, because that's what your character is. It is the sum and substance of the habits that you do. If you have good character, then you're going to have a great destiny. Your character is the sum total of your habits, and that's why any of us can say, you know what, I am a kind person. But if you only act kind 25% of the time, you can say you're kind, but you ain't kind. You can say that same thing about being a person of integrity, but if you are not seeking to be a person of integrity all the time, if you're not making it your habit, you're missing the point. Spiritual habits are the exact same way. That's why during the 40 days, we're going to focus on four specific habits, because these habits are good. They will make you strong if, as Jesus says in John 13, Jesus says, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if, say it with me, you practice them. It's just like with any other habit. We're not looking at some spiritual hocus pocus. You develop spiritual habits by putting in the reps. I finally got in a weight bench at my little man cave thing, and it's awesome. I go out there, and like, I don't have a lot of weights, but I do a lot of reps. I mean, y'all could tell that. I know it's explaining stuff that was obvious, but I'm just saying, you develop habits by putting in the reps. You put in the practice. See, God's blessings don't come from the knowing of something. God's blessings come from the doing of something. It's been proven over and over again. It takes 6 weeks to develop new habits, whether it's exercise, diet, spiritual habit, anything else. And the first 3 weeks, what that amounts to is you become comfortable with the tools or the things that you are trying to do. And the next 3 weeks is when they start getting ingrained. Your habit starts getting ingrained into your life. I really hope you know this by now, that having a little bit of God's Word, thinking about it, and praying every day will make you strong. But until you get serious about saying, I am going to set aside this 5-10 minutes for a time alone with God every single day, you're not going to make any ground. I've done this. I'm speaking from experience. You do it for 1-2 days, and then you fall off the truck. You go for a week. You come back, oh, Lord, You must not love me as much. So you get into weird thinking. It's like, I still love you. You're just a knucklehead. Stop doing that. And then you get back on, you do it for 3 days, and then you're off for 2, and then you're back on for 1, and you're off for 5. That is not the way you do it. Set a timer. Our phones will help us. Set a timer to say, I'm going to do this, because 40 days is a golden opportunity to do this the right way. We're literally being handed the tools, the pattern, the partners to do it, reminders. We have the reinforcements. If you will do this for 40 days, it has a much, much higher likelihood of becoming part and parcel of your life. And if you used to do this, today is a great day to start again. Okay? And look what happens when you do. Hebrews 5:14 says, solid food is for mature people whose minds have been trained by practice or habit to know the difference between good and evil. You know, I'm told this because I've never worked in the banking industry, but I'm told that if you are going to be trained on how to spot counterfeit money, they very rarely ever hand you any counterfeit money. They hand you the real deal, and they tell you, memorize every stinking detail of these bills so that when a counterfeit comes through your hands, you know exactly that is not the real thing. That's how you know. When the fake stuff shows up, you know because you're well acquainted with the real. That is the reason. Over and over, I see Christ followers get sidelined because I don't know the real deal. You cannot rely on me at every turn because, and I'm only using myself is because I got a microphone strapped to my head and we do this thing when we're doing right here all the time. Don't depend on me. Depend on God's word. Because whenever you're faced with a situation, you go, well, maybe I should believe that thing that I heard on the news or from my friend. Like, no, maybe. Know what is right and what is wrong. What is truth and what is error? Kids, there are scores of counterfeit ideas in this world. It's time for us to grow up and spot them. You need to get the maturity, and you get the maturity by training, and you get the maturity by practice with the truth, and you do it over and over and over and over. That's all. I mean, it's not glamorous. It's just the truth. You put in the time, you pay the price, and every day you choose what you want more instead of what you want now. That is the measure of maturity. 1 Corinthians 9:25, all good athletes train hard and they practice to get better. They do it to win a prize that won't last, but we, as Christ followers, practice to win a prize that will last forever. In other words, the habits you build in your spiritual life now is going to pay dividends forever, starting today. And during the 40 days of prayer, we're focusing on it, and I'm just, you know, in case you hadn't noticed it, I'm saying these same things over and over again. Because repetition is the key to learning. Yes, it is. Four key habits. Large group worship, small group fellowship, daily time alone with God, through Bible reading and prayer, and memorizing God's word. Large group worship, that's what we're doing right now. Small group fellowship, 40 days, small groups. Say, how do I get into one of those? We've got a table set up there. There's already 212 of your closest friends already ahead of you. Go, 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 go! Daily time alone with God. I'll show it again. I'll be Vanna White. It's right here. Memorizing God's word. You can even get that on Instagram. We're so cool. Anyway, huge payoff personally and for our Rock Springs family. So God, got to stress this. We have said this for years, but I just don't want you to miss it. Because now we're actually doing it. Because those 212 people are plugged into 25 some odd groups. Some of them are online. Some of them are in somebody's living room. Listen to me, church. It's what I said earlier in a different form. We don't know what the world will deal out to us next. But we do know we have the tools to overcome. And this is how we will overcome. It's the way the church was actually born. And that is, Rock Springs must become a church of small groups, not a church with small groups. I want the heartbeat and the lifeblood of Rock Springs to be in living rooms throughout this county and beyond. So that if we are ever put into a difficult position, they can't stop what's happening in your living room. In fact, every church that I know of that was already a church of small groups, they did not lose ground during 2020. They actually grew in percentages not seen before. I'm telling you, God works that way. He has since Acts 2. You say, where did you get that crazy idea? Acts 2. It's the way the first church was organized. I'm reading it to you. It says, day after day, not just on Sundays, they met together in the temple courts. That was the only place that could hold them, because in those days, they probably had about 25,000 people show up on worship day. Whew. They broke bread, which means they shared meals and communion together in different homes, and they shared their food happily and freely while praising God. And everyone, not just the people who came to church, but everyone around the church in the community liked them. And each day the Lord added to their group others who were being saved. And I am one prayerful guy. I'm praying that some of you come to know Jesus Christ during this 40 days, and we get to celebrate by baptizing you sometime in the near future. Because we need both the large group worship and the small group fellowship. Because when the going gets tough, it's going to be us in our living rooms loving Jesus and loving one another. It's going to win the day. Because in this setting, what we're doing right now, it's very, very difficult. It's not easy for us to stop and pray for every single need of some 150 people that are in this room. It's not the best venue to say, hey, somebody, I need somebody to lean on. You can't really afford to raise your hand because I won't point at you, but you can't really ask a question in here, and dang it, you're not really supposed to eat in here either. But you can in your living room. That's what I want our church to be. I want it to be the kind of thing where God's love is so active and changing our lives, I think people around us would go, you know what, those people are so weird, but they're so loving. They seem to have the same problems as I do, but they move through their life with less stress and more focus and more purpose. How do they do that? And then I want them to go say, you know what? I want to know more about that. And you say, well, come on over to my house. I'll show you. And their first connection is with somebody in their living room. And then they get to meet a larger group like this one. I'm just telling you, so good, so good. Daily time alone with God is another one of those things. Memorizing God's word, previous two messages, that's what they were about. Number four, we also grow when we help each other grow. See, you and I cannot develop spiritual maturity by ourselves. You need me, I need you. We need each other. And if we all try to say, you know what, I'm going to do this on my own, I guarantee you, the end result will, you'll be lonely, stunted, selfish, and weak. Iron sharpens iron. It has to do with proximity and frequency. Spiritual growth happens when you and I help each other. Romans 1:12, he says, I want you to help each other. I want us to help each other with the faith that you have, because your faith will help me and my faith will help you. Did you know that there are like 56 commands that's in the New Testament, a New Testament believer should be practicing? 56 commands in the New Testament that you cannot obey by yourself. Just let that one sink in. They're called the one another. They're supposed to love one another. Sometimes that's a tough gig. We're supposed to care for one another. Oh, you again. We're to pray for one another. Well, that one's kind of easy because I can go and do that by myself. No, you're supposed to pray with one another. Encourage one another. Bear with one another. Bear with? That must mean that we get on one another's nerves. What? No. I didn't mean to look at you, babe. Because you don't get in my... You don't... Y'all, I just want y'all to know today is my beautiful bride's birthday. And I'm so glad she was born. You got to have each other. You got to have other brothers and sisters in your life in order to grow up. And specifically, you must be connected to the body of Christ in order to grow up to be like Christ. Because there is no such thing as a healthy, isolated Christ follower. Christ followers grow more faster. They grow more mature and faster by learning to love better. Because the number one thing God put you here on earth to do is learn to love. Love Him. And love other people. But some of you are still holding out from being in one of these groups. But see, that's the very reason that you don't want to be in one of these groups is the primary reason why you need to be in one of these groups. It's just an amazing thing because you're thinking, well, I might go to one of those things and I don't know all those people and someone there might actually be disagreeable. In fact, I could go to one of those places and someone there might be kind of irritating. And I'm saying to you with all boldness, yep, probably will be. You. But you need people in your life who will kindly and lovingly challenge your thoughts, challenge your pride, challenge your generosity. That's why small groups is crucial to this spiritual growth campaign. Hebrews 10 says this, let us be concerned with for one another, to help one another, to show love and to do good. Let us not give up the habit of meeting together. Let's go back to that. In the first 300 years of the church, there were no church buildings, because everybody met in a home. Or when they could get together in large places, they would do that. Christ followers met in homes or wherever this small group could meet. The writer Hebrews just says, let's not give up the habit of meeting together as some are doing. Instead, let's encourage one another all the more. The action step here is get involved in a group. You can go to the church app. Click on 40 days. You can go to that table out there. People will literally get you signed up. If you're not in one, get in one today. Let us help you. We can even help you start one if you want to. Just get a couple of friends and say, you want to study this stuff about prayer? Let's do it. That's as easy as it comes. And by the way, let me just say this to you. I'm not asking you to do this for the rest of your life. I'm just asking you, for the next 6 weeks, could you shimmy in a little bit of something that might actually help you for all eternity? Just think about it. Fifth law, we grow. Spiritual growth happens when we expect to grow. You could call this the faith factor. Matthew 9 says this, Jesus was speaking. He says, according to your faith, it's going to be done to you. What? Yeah, we don't have time because this is not the context of this message, but Jesus basically was saying, you get to choose how much I bless your life. You get to choose how much I use your life. Because we are prone to say, we are conditioned to say, well, I'll believe it when I see it. Jesus going, bless your heart. Nope. He says, no, you'll see it when you believe it. It's radical, upside down. Last Sunday, I challenged you. What are you expecting to happen during the 40 days in your life? If you expect nothing to happen, guess what? That's right. Ain't nothing going to happen. According to your faith, it will be done to you. But what if right now, today, you said to God, God, I want to be stronger in this area, the daily devotions, whatever it is. What if you say, Lord, what I really, really, really want is I want a breakthrough in this area regarding my money, my responsibilities, my relationships, whatever it may be. God, I want to grow. Whatever you want, God, I want to grow in these next 40 days. And so I believe I am going to grow in the next 40 days, and I believe you're going to meet me there. What if you gave God room to actually bless and use your life? He's like, that scares me. Well, then you're doing it right. But I will tell you this, every time God does a miracle in somebody's life, it's because somebody believed. So do you really want to grow up, church? Then you need to start this campaign with a spirit of expectancy and faith in the God who is who He says He is and will do what He said He will do. So dig into God's word, different ways, good habits, do it together. I'm just on here to the sixth law of spiritual growth, and that is you and I grow when we commit to grow. In other words, we don't just talk about it anymore, we actually do it. Because spiritual growth is not automatic. It is a choice. It is an intentional choice. Now, you can grow older in your life without growing up. Do not look at anyone in this room right now. But to grow up spiritually, you have to make a choice. It requires an effort. Grace is not opposed to effort. It is opposed to earning. You cannot earn what God's about to give you, but you can press on with everything you've got. Give it all the effort that it deserves. Come at it this way. Let me give you a question. A year from today, That would be September the 26th, 2022. Do you intend to be stronger in your faith, or do you intend to be still stuck in the same place and the same rut in the same problems that you're in right now? It's your choice. Do you intend to still be a spectator that treats church as an event? Or do you intend 1 year from today to understand more intimately and more experientially what it means to be the church 24/7, 365? What will you choose? Now, I'm just telling you because I've been around this block a time or two. Some of you in this room 1 year from now, 1 year from now will be much stronger spiritually, and praise God for that. You will be more mature and you are going to be blessed. And some of you will still be stuck. And you'll still be immature. And what's the difference? Some of you today will make the choice to say, I am willing to pay the price. And some of you will go, no, just can't go there. You're as close to God as you choose to be, church. So the question is, do you really want to grow? And if you say yes, then what are you willing to do in order to grow? Don't waste your life, please. I'm begging you, let God stretch your imagination and your life, because He's ready. He is ready to do both of those things, help you invest your life and help stretch you. If you say yes to God and then you ask Him what the question actually was, He will bless your life. Jeremiah wrote this, 29:13. God says, you'll find me when you get serious about finding me and you want it more than anything else. So maybe it is time for somebody in this room, and I'll be one of them, that would say with great sincerity and use this conversation with God to say, God, I want to grow. I just simply have to grow. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired spiritually. I do not want to be a spiritual baby. I hate being manipulated by my moods. I hate being steered by the opinions of other people. I do not like living as a people pleaser. I don't like having to bear the burden of fears and anxieties and worries. I don't like the problems that I bring on myself because I don't know how to control my anger or my sex or my money or any of those other things. Heavenly Father, please hear me. I want to grow up. I want to be a man of God. I want to be a woman of God. I want to be strong. I want to be steady. I want to be stable. And I want to do it for the sake of this church family and the body of Christ that needs to be healthy in a very sin-sick world. And if that's what you want, then your action step is as simple as this card that I hope each one of you were handed. And if it is, I want you to pull that out. And some of you don't have that card. I'm sure the ushers will be happy to provide you with one. This card says something so simple. It says, I want to grow up. It says the reinforcements that will help transform my life. I want to hear it, read it, discuss it, remember it, and do it. I'm going to listen to the messages on the weekend. I'm going to read daily from the journal. I'm going to meet weekly with a small group. I will memorize key Bible verses, and I'll practice praying as God instructs. You know what I'd really like for you to do with this card? Because there is nothing super spiritual or significant about this card until you do something with it, and that is, if this is your commitment, then do what God's people have always done, and that is they covenant together. That's your application step. That's your action step. They covenant together. You say, how do I do that? Sign your name, get the contact number, and then give this to your host when you go to your group. Why? Because then they will be a witness to the commitment that you are making, and they'll probably tell you the same kind of commitment that they are making, because we grow faster when we make decisions along with other people. See, we want to treat it as a contract, but a contract is looking for loopholes, and a covenant is looking for loyalty. A contract says, I've got a way out in case this doesn't work out. But a covenant says, no, there's no way out, but there is a way through. And I'm just telling you, it is easier to change when other people are changing with you. So take that card, give it to your host, tell them, I am all in, and let God bless you. Okay. This is it. This is it. Robert, get ready. We're going to sing again. Okay? A 40-day spiritual growth campaign is an extended revival. It is an opportunity. I'm just telling you, it is no secret that Rock Springs could certainly use some renewal. We, you know, everybody needs a fresh wind. But I don't want it just for us. I want it because if we are the recipients of a life that never ends, and a life of tremendous purpose, and a life that has been forgiven, and it is free. We exist, church, for a lost and dying world who is waiting for someone to love them. So I believe that today is the start of something refreshing. I want it to continue to have a fresh sense of God's presence. I don't know about you, but I need a boost of joy and freshness to the vision that God has already given us. And I believe that that prayer is found, that goal is found on the path of prayer. So my bottom line goal for you is this, and it's there on your notes. My goal for you, for me, for anybody who will listen, is 2 Corinthians 13:9. Our greatest wish and our greatest prayer is that you will become mature Christians. That's my heart's prayer. So, my last word before I pray. I dare you. I double dog dare you. This is your opportunity to actually step up to the plate and swing for the fences. Do it. Do it. Do it. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I love these people, and we have been through so many ups and downs. We've been through crushing heartache. We've been through soaring joy. But I truly believe that our best days as your people are ahead of us. So Lord, King of the universe, ruler of my life, I for one commit myself first to growing up just a little bit further in my faith. I'm asking you, Holy Spirit of God, to move in hearts right now and confirm that same commitment that I am making in the hearts of many, many other people. These people that I love, but that you love even more than I do. I'm thanking you on behalf of all of us. I'm thanking you in advance for what you're going to do in my life and in the lives of everybody here who chooses to do this. Because we know that true growth is a choice. And we pray that you will give us the strength to build these habits in our lives, and that we will become strong, and that we will be stable men and women of God in a world that is filled with unstable, flaky, uncommitted people. And may we love them like you have loved us. So Lord, in this moment, as we make these kinds of decisions, and we pray this, help us to put feet to those prayers. And I ask for this blessing in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.